Mishnah and Daf and Tesamen Aleph presents the position of Rabbi Nechemiah, which we encountered already in the Gemara named Ches Amen Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Kol Davar She'eino Mekabel Tuma Eino Mekabel Ksamim. Rabbi Nechemiah is of the opinion that any material that is not Mekabel Tuma is not subject to Tumas Ksamim. Meaning, if a woman sees a Kesem, even Yoser Mikigris, on a davar she'eino mekabel tuma, then she's not going to become tumea. So we encounter this on Daf Nechasim and Aleph, where Rav Ashi quoted this Rav Nechemiah in explaining Shitas Shmuel of Ashi Targish Bibsara. For the mission, there's some context is here on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. Why should this be so? Why should a davar she'eino mekabel tuma be excluded from the parsha of Ksamim? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. The Gemara in Samach Amid Beis, Amr of Masna, my time is the Rabbi Nechemiah, dechsev v'nakasa la'aretz teishev. Pasuk at the end of third parak of Yeshaya, v'nakasa la'aretz teishev. So nothing to do with anything. The pasuk is talking about nevuas of the time of Achaz and Chizkiyah, and it's generally a non-positive context, the parak as a whole, and then the very end of the parak has this phrase, the nikasa la'aretz teishev, which the Gemara here interprets as a reference to this din, kevin sheyashva la'aretz niksa, nikasa, that once something is on the ground, then it is clean and not subject to tumas ksamim. So the Achronim point out, if you look in the Mad Yontiv on the bottom of the Rush here in Os Yud, he points out, and others, the Maariv Schias points out in the back of the Gemara, that this presumably is only an asmachta at best. We're not actually learning a halacha from this pasuk. It's an asmachta. It's a hint, a indication, a way of remembering this din, but it's not actually a source. We'll see in a few moments if Rishonim present svaras or try to understand what the rationale of this din is, why Darish Eina Mekabel Tuma is Eina Mekabel Ksamim. But no one treats this pasuk as an absolute makor for this din. If you look at the Aruch Lener on Tosas and Daf Nuchesam and Aleph, Dibur Maskel, Krevi Nechemiah, the Aruch Lener on that Tosa points out the same Nekuda, that this is clearly only an Asmat, it's only a Remes. After all, he points out the whole institution of Tumas Ksam is only the Rabbanim. So you came in a Torah, Ksamim or Al Tahorim. So you can't have a Pasuk in Navi, a Navi Rashai Lechadish Davar Miasma, you can't have a Pasuk in Navi that's telling you a din against the din minotara. So it must be it's only a remnant, it's only an asmapta. We're not fundamentally learning out this din of Darish Eina Mekabel Tuma Eina Mekabel Ksamim from the pasuk in Yeshaya. And we'll see the Rishonim, that's why the Rishonim have to provide reasons to understand this exclusion.
What else can a pasuk from Navi be, like for his Rabbanim?
No, it can't be telling you a din that overrides a din deraisa.
When do you have a Navi doing that?
So generally speaking, a Navi can't create a new din. I think it's not a new din, it's a Xera, so Xera the Rabbanon, okay, fine, so there's a little bit of Daftafka. But anyway, it's not really a Navi Rosh
Hashanah Shavar. There are dinim that there that come out of Navi, which are
right. Well, here there's no din d'oraisa that it could be megala, and in Minhag Torah it's clear that Ksamim are tahorim. There's a din d'rabbanan that we're mafkir on Ksamim midrabbanan. So wouldn't it be a modification of the din d'oraisa? Be that as it may, there's clearly only a rem, it's only an asmafta, it's not the actual makor for this halacha. The most we show in Paschal like Rabbi Nechemiah, that called over Shein Makabel Tome Eino Mekabel Ksamim, and that's a Wiyasum Lalacha. However, there is a minority position in Rishonim, that of the Ravid, who assumes that we do not paskin like Rebbe Nechemiah. What's the Ravid based on? So if you look in the Ravid in the Bali Nefesh, Sharak Samim Simin Beis, Sharak Samim Simin Beis, or Os Beis, the beginning of Sharak Samim, so the Ravid points to the following Gemara. The Gemara has on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis a brief story. It's about 15 lines from the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Hahi Issa Sa, Nun Ches Amud Aleph, 15 lines from the bottom. Hahi Issa Sa, there's a certain woman, Deishtakach la dama bimash sisa. So she found dam on a mash sisa. What's a mash sisa? So that's machlokas. That's what the whole discussion here is going to be based on. So there's a certain woman who found dam bimash sisa. Asa lekamid Rabbi Yannai. So she came in front of Rabbi Yannai. Amr la teizel v'teisi. So Rabbi Yannai said to her, go back and forth. What does that mean? Rashi, teza v'teisi. So Rashi understands that a mashsisa is a loom. So teza v'teisi, kedarsha asasa ad achshav. Shalcha v'shava, so the same back and forth motion that you were making with the loom until now, continue to make. Im Rami shatavi hamosach ba'bein ragla k'neged osa makom t'meya. So if the way that you operate the loom, you end up putting it in a place where it would be mekabel dam mi gufa. So if she puts it bein ragla, opposite osa makom. So then she's Tamei, then that's an indication that the dam must have come migufa. Vatanya in Chonu Mutaro, so we don't go back to recount or to reevaluate the suffix in Taros. Kiamina in Chonu Lakula, but Luchumra Lashonin. But no, if it's going to come out, the Luchumra, you know, Luchumra from there, so then we are Shonin, we do go back, we play the action to see what exactly happened. Fine. So the Ravid says, this Mashsisa is a Darisha Eino Mekabel Tuma. He understood this Mashsisa is the loom itself, which is Eino Mekabel Tuma. And yet, we're concerned, Rav Yannai assumed that it was subject to Tumas Ksamim. So apparently you see from the story that we pass in against her in Nechemia that even if Hadar is Eina Mekabel Tumah, still could be Mekabel Tumah's Ksamim. Okay, that's how the Ravid understood this Gemara. So what exactly was this Mashsis according to the Ravid? So if you look in the new fancy edition of the Ravid, the Rabbi Buchwald edition, in the commentary on the bottom, in footnote Yud Aleph, he says the Ravid must have understood that this Mashsis of this loom is Pshute Kliyetz. It's Eino Mekabel Tumah because it's a wooden Kli without a base Kibbol, which the Meiri writes over here more explicitly, and that's why it's not Mekabel Tumah. But most of the other Rishonim understand that the Mashsis was Davar Mekabel Tumah. If you look, for example, in the Hasagas, the Balamor, on the Ravid there on the Bali Nefesh, the Asaga Sarazar writes that it was a Kli Oreg, which is Mekabel Tumah. That's what most Rishonim understand. You have no raya that this Meiser of Rabbi Yannai is against Rabbi Nechemia, because the Mashsis also is Davar Mekabel Tumah. Tosus assumes that way as well. We'll get back to Tosus, but Tosus here on the top of Nechesem and Aleph, Diva Maskel Krem Nechemia, assumes that it's at least something which is Mekabel Tumah bin Egoyim. And that's enough to fall into the category of Davar HaMekabel Tumah, that it could be Mekabel Tumah's Ksamim. Fine. So the Rav is a minority opinion. Rishonim, it's not reflected. La'alacha, we assume like Rabbi Nechemia, that called Davar She'ena Mekabel Tumah, Eina Mekabel Ksamim. So why should that be the case? Why should that be the case that Davar She'ena Mekabel Tumah, Eina Mekabel Ksamim? What does one have to do with the other? So there are two or three approaches in Rishonim, maybe in Machlokas Achronim, whether it's two or three. If you look in the Chidushei HaRashba, at the beginning of the eighth parak, Nun Zayin Mabez, so the Rashba, there are two possibilities. The first thing that he writes is as follows. The Chidushei Rashba, Nun Zayin Mabez, Dibur Maskil Gemara, first piece there on the Gemara, the Rashba writes as follows. Ve'efshar, Mimneshel Gazu El Al Hamotzei. So the way Tumas Ksamim was formulated, it was formulated as a Gzeira Derabbanan. Typically speaking, a Gzeira Derabbanan is only promulgated for something which is Matzli. V'davar she'eino mekabel tumah eino matzli sheteishev. If something is not mekabel tumah, was not makabel tumah, let's say, pshutei kliyetz. So it's not normal that a person would be sitting on pshutei kliyetz. It's not meant for sitting. So most things that are in a makabel tumah, it's not musi that a woman's going to be sitting on. O shetishtamish bo b'yavisha v'yeshiva u'levisha. It's not musi that a woman would be using or would be wearing something that's in a makabel tumah. So any situation in which it would be expected to find a kesem, or it would be normal to find a kesem, would be on a davar hat mekabel tuma. A davar she'ena mekabel tuma would not normally receive ksamim, and therefore when the gzera of ksamim was formulated, it was formulated with the absolute exclusion of a davar she'ena mekabel tuma. Even if you could have a situation where you have a kesem on a davar she'ena mekabel tuma, because that's not the norm, that's not motzei, that was excluded, just as, according to those who understood this way, pachos mikigris was excluded from, broadly speaking, there's a total exclusion of pachos mikigris from tumah. Some, even though that pachos mikigris, whether it's a total exclusion or not, we pointed out maybe in machlokas poskim. But here, the Rashba would say, there is an absolute exclusion, anything that is not mekabel tuma, because it's not motzi, is excluded from tumas ksam. That's approach number one. The Rashba then goes the second approach from Rabbeinu Yonah, which is slightly more explicit in the Chidushei Haran. If you look at the Chidushei Haran, Chidushei Haran says it himself, he doesn't quote anyone. Chidushei Haran, also in Zion of Beis Dibra Maskel Moda, Chidushei Haran in Zion of Beis Dibra Maskel Moda writes as follows. Elevadi hachikama. Dekevan demida araisa eina tmei ela bahargasha. So since minatara, a woman's only going to be tmei if she has dam bahargasha. Lo gozer ela bedavar hamakabel tuma. Chazal were only gozer tumas ksamim with a davar hamakabel tuma. Ava bedavar she eina makabel tuma lo. Why? Vahay taima mishum. The bedaver hamakabel tuma, kevan shema shenimsa lav a kesem tamei gazer barabban and kadesh lo yavu l'tayr habeget. So, if you have a kesem on a beged, the rabbanan were gozer, so is not to be mitahir the beged. Aval kishenimsa bedaver she'ena makabel tuma. Lo gazru al isha klal. But if it's found on a davar she'ena makabel tuma, lo gazru al isha klal. So what does the Ran mean? If you look in the Tshuvas Noda Bihuda, Kama Yeredeya Simen Nun Beis, Tshuvas Noda Bihuda, Kama Yeredeya Simen Nun Beis, which is referenced in the Pesachei Tshuva here, Sifkatan Yud Zayin. So the Noda Bihuda explains this position that we find in the Ran as follows. It's pretty clear in the Ran anyway, but the Noda Bihuda explains a little bit more. That since a woman is only Temeya Minotora Vidam Behargasha, there's a fundamental difference on a Torah level between Tumas Isha and Tumas Kli. A woman is only going to be tamei minatora if there's dam bahargasha. However, a kli could be tamei minatora even obviously without hargasha because the kli has no hargasha. So if you have dam minamakor that ends up on a kli, that kli is going to be tamei min hatora regardless of any hargasha equation, because hargasha makes no sense in that context. At least within the opinion in the Gemara Daf Tazayin, makor makoma tamei, that any dam that comes min a makor is tamei min a Torah as far as tumas kli. So min a Torah, you have a situation where you have, let's call it dam shelo bargasha. Dam shelo bargasha is found in a woman, she is tahor min a Torah. Dam shelo bargasha ki'ilu is found in a kli, the kli is tamei min a Torah. However, if that very same dam that is found on the kli, we would say, in that situation, the woman is tahora, so then you could come to a confused reality where you're going to distinguish between the kli and the woman, and you may come to be mitahir the kli, shelo kedin. So I'll just read you a line in the Nodbi Yehuda. So I understand this situation. If you have dam, a kesem that's found on a beged, that's mekabel tuma. So min haTorah, there's no reason to be metame the woman. But you still have to be metame the beged shenimsa kesem mishel maga. So you have to assume that this dam that's on the beged came in a isha. Because there, so you don't know where the dam came from, but you have to be choshish came from the isha, because we're talking about a din daraisa of tuma on the beged. But in order so as not to confuse the beged with the isha, you have to be tami the isha also. So there's a consistency between the beged and the isha. That only makes sense if it's on a davar ha-mekabel tuma, but if it's not on a davar she'ein ha-mekabel tuma, so this far doesn't apply, and then there's no reason to apply gzeiras ksamim, tumas ksamim to the isha.
Isn't the logic of this incorrect? Because he's assuming that kelim become tame, but kelim cannot become tame if it's dam and a hargasha, because kelim have no hargasha. Therefore,
that was my way of saying it. It's not to do with hargasha.
Right, but I guess
if you have dam migufa, that's going to be mitame the kli.
But isn't that not true? I mean, isn't it true that the kli is tame whenever it touches something tame, and then the whether or not this dam is tame is entirely dependent on whether there was a hargasha or not. If you're talking about Torah, the hargasha doesn't matter for determining whether the dam is tame.
No, because min haTorah mekor mekomo tame. So the dam, as far as tumas isha, that's a special din that requires hargasha. But if the dam comes, meaning if I have dam that's vadei migufa, Shaloba Hargasha, not according to the Siddur Torah, but according to, let's say, most Achronim, so then the woman's going to be Torah Minotara. If I have Dam is Vade Migufa on a Beged, that Beged's going to be Tame Minotara. Right?
Dam in general is not Metame things, right? Like if I'm just bleeding.
If you're bleeding, it's not Metame, but
right.
Dam Nida is Metame.
But isn't that
Dam in a Makor is Metame, independent of Hargasha. That's a special din by a woman. The woman's only going to be tamei minotara with her sargasha. But even if we know, again, according to many achronim, even if we know that the dam is migufa, but if we know the dam gufa is migufa, the beged is going to be tamei minotara. Right? So it's a fundamental distinction between the status of the woman minotara and the status of the beged minotara.
Dam min hamakor is what's mitame min haTorah.
Correct.
Okay, and in order to say this, you have to assume that Hargasha isn't just a simon from Dam Min HaMakor, but also an independent tziva, right?
Correct. I could still say this the other way, but it's easier to explain that way.
Interesting. Okay.
All right.
What's the status of the kli? Is it a rishon l'tuma or is it not?
I think it's going to be a rishon l'tuma. Okay, so that's the Chidush Erat. Again, according to the Rashba, the first approach, Dover Shein L'Shkiach Lo Gazru, according to, so it's not Shkiach to find the Kesem and a Dover Shein Mekabel Tumah, so there is a blanket exclusion, Dover Shein Mekabel Tumah is not subject to Tumah's Ksamim. According to the approach of the Chidush Erat, but the Rashba quotes in the Ben Yonah, the whole genesis of this Zeris Ksamim starts with the Beged. We're concerned that if the beged is tameh and you're going to make the isha tahora, you may come to be matar the beged. So therefore, the fact that we're matameh the isha is only relevant where the beged itself is going to be tameh, only by a beged of mekabel tumah, but not by a klisha ena mekabel tumah. If you look in Tosfos over here, Dibur Maskil Kerabi Nechemia and Chesem and Aleph, Tosos has a formulation that's slightly different than the Chiddush HaHaran. Tosos writes, Tami Derim Nechemya, Kevan Gedavar Shehakethem Bo Tahor Gamal Isha LaGazru Tuma. Since that which the Kethem is found on is Tahor, they weren't Gozer Tuma on the Isha either. Sounds like the reverse, right? So what does that mean? Came into Dover Shakasim Otar Gamal Isha Lo Gazru Tuma. So the Sidrei Tara assumes Sidrei Tara towards the end of Sivkat and Sadi Gimel. And the paragraph that begins the Alpiza Amarti. This is that long Sidrei Tara in which he argues that according to Rashi and Tosfos, La Halacha, a woman could be Tmeya Min HaTorah even without her Gasha. If you know that the Dan is Vada Migufa, then even without her Gasha, a woman's going to be Tmeya. So in that analysis of Rashi and Tosfos' position, he sticks in this Tosfos and says the machlokas Ran and Tosef. And according to the Ran, as we just explained it, the Iker Gzeres Chachamim is because of the Tumas HaBeged. Since the Beged is Tomei, we're Gozer Tuma on the woman as well. Because the Beged is going to be Tomei Minotara since Mekor Mekomo Tomei. And we don't want people to confuse the Beged and the Isha. So that's only relevant by Davar Mekabel Tuma. Tosos doesn't formulate it that way. Tosos says, "Came into Davar Shakasim Batar Gamal Isha Lo Gazru Tuma." According to Tosfos, he understands again within Tosfos that Minotar woman is going to be Tmeya if there's Dami Gufa even below Hargasha. So according to Tosfos, the Iker Gzeres Samim is to be metame a woman in a situation where you may come to get confused with nida deraisa, or you don't want to be mako on a potential nida deraisa. So in any situation in which we're concerned that maybe there's really dam in a makor, even if it's shaloba hargasha, we're going to apply tumas ksamen. So the thrust of Tumas Ksamim, according to Tosos, is not, the starting point is not the Beged, and then we transfer from the Beged to the Isha. The starting point is the Isha, because we're worried that maybe there'll be a situation in which the Dam is really Minamakor, even without Hargasha, and she doesn't realize that. So in that context, Tosa says that even though in general we're concerned about Tumas Ksamim, that maybe there's going to be Dam in a Makor that could make her a Nida Min HaTorah even without her Gasha, but came in the Davar Shakasim Bo Tahor Gamal Isha LaGazer Tumah. But we're not going to go so far as to be Gozer Tumas Ksamim in a case where anyway we're Makel on the Beged. So the orientation is mitzad Isha, not mitzad Beged. The starting point is the Isha, but we're not going to be gozer Tumas Ksamim in a situation in which we're mekel on the Beged anyway. That's how the Sidrei Tara understands Tosfos. The starting point is not the Beged, but the starting point is the Isha. Sorry? According to the Ran, the orientation of Tumas Ksamim is since the Beged is going to be Tamei Min HaTorah if it comes Min HaMakor, then we're going on the Isha as well, that you shouldn't come to confuse the Isha with the Beged. If we were to be Mitar the Beged, the Isha, then we might come to be Mitar the Beged erroneously. So the starting point is the Beged, and the Beged informs how we treat the Isha. According to the Tosos, the starting point is the Isha. Starting point is that we're concerned that maybe there's going to be Tuma Minat Torah in a situation where there's Dami Gufa, even Shalom Bahargasha. So the whole institution of Tumas Ksamim is to avoid such a potential problem of Nida Deraisa, where there's no Hargasha. Nevertheless, we weren't going to Tumas Ksamim in a case where we're going to be Mitahir the Beged anyway. So that far we don't go as to be Mitami the woman where we are Mitahir the Beged. Right, so the way, so that could, in theory, you could have been gozer in many other places. You could have been gozer with Pachas Miki Gris, you could have been gozer and Sivonim. So there's always a certain analysis as to how far to take the Gzeira. So Chazal thought that it doesn't make sense to take the Gzeira that far as to make the woman more chomer than the Beket. As far as nafkamina, we'll get to that shortly. What may be a potential nafkamina in this analysis between the Ram and Tosfos. Okay, are we good so far?
Like Kain Shel Torah, in a way?
I'm sorry?
Kain Shel Torah?
Kain Deraisa?
Kain Deraisa, yeah.
What do you mean?
You weren't saying that, but is that part of it?
What do you want to say?
Well, in other words, they don't want to make it as their, they want to make it as their, like, Shel Torah, that it's only on, the Tuma is only on the, by definition, it's only on the Shel Torah.
Okay. so that, the Seder Mitzvah is the following, has the following Chiddush, which is quoted by the Pesachei Shuv and Sivkat and Yud Zayin. The Sidur Itara here is in the paragraph that begins Mizeh, which is a few paragraphs over the last one that we cited. So the Sidur Itara writes that even though Kol Darvish Einu Mekabel Tuma Einu Mekabel Ksamim, let's say you have a Kesem on a Darvish Einu Mekabel Tuma that's resting on a Darvish Ha Mekabel Tuma. Okay, you have a kesem that is directly on a davar she'ena mekabel tuma, but that davar she'ena mekabel tuma is resting on a davar ha mekabel tuma. So Sidur Tara writes that in this case, the woman is going to be tameya, because, and here he's going with the Ran's analysis, that since the Iker Gzeiras Ksamim is to be metame the woman where the Beged is tame, so wherever the Beged is tame, we're metame the woman. Wherever the Kli is tame, we're metame the woman. So here too, the bottom Kli is going to be tame because of Tumas Masa. The bottom Kli is supporting the top Kli. So even though the top Kli is a Davrisha Eina Mekabel Tuma, the bottom Kli is the Davar Ha Mekabel Tuma, so the Davar Ha Mekabel Tuma is supporting the Davar She'ena Mekabel Tuma, and there's a Davar Tame on the Davar She'ena Mekabel Tuma, then the bottom Kli is going to be Tame B'Tumas Masa. So since in this case there is a Kli which is now Tame as a result of the Dam, so then it makes sense to be Metame the woman as well. Yes, if you have a davar she'ena mekabel tuma and a davar hat mekabel tuma, since a davar hat mekabel tuma would be subject to tumas masa, then we're going to be metame the woman as well. That is the Sidrei Tara's suggestion. So then, according to that, it would come out. Let's say you were to have dam on a piece of tsoa, and that piece of tsoa is on, in the kli that's mekabel tuma. So the tzoa itself is not mekabel tuma. but it's in a kli that is mekabel tuma, so it would come out according to the Sidri Tara's chiddush over here that that woman would be tmeya because the kesem is on a davar ha she'ena mekabel tuma, which is on a davar ha mekabel tuma. Many Achronim argue on this Sidri Tara. If you look in the Badei HaShulchan and the Beyurim here, he quotes, he demonstrates that the Chasam Sofer and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav argue on the Sidri Tara. If you look in the Darkei Tshuva, Darkei Tshuva Sifkata Nun Gimel, Darkei Tshuva Sifkata Nun Gimel, he quotes a Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Samech Aleph raises the following issue with the Sidrei Tara, that the din is that there is no Tumas Masa by Kelim. Tumas Masa is only by Yodam. So the whole analysis doesn't get off the ground. The Sidrei Tara's presentation was that you have a davar ha mekabel tuma on top of a davar, sorry, davar she'ena mekabel tuma on top of davar mekabel tuma, the davar mekabel tuma is going to be subject to tumas masa. That's not true to kelim. It may still be true but adam. That's what Moshe points out in Os Tesvav in his Tshuvas to Rabbi Eider. Moshe points out, yeah, the Sidur Tara is difficult to understand in the context of kelim, but it could still be relevant for Adam. If a woman is holding a kli she'ena mekabel tuma, and there's a kesem that's on a kli she'ena mekabel tuma that's in her hand, so she may be subject to tumas nasa, because she's holding the kli that has a dam on it. So it may still be relevant in that context. But the Sidur Tara's analysis here is working with the approach of the Ran, that the whole starting point for Xeris Ksamim is the status of the Kli. So wherever the Kli is going to be Mekabel Tuma, the Isha is going to be Mekabel Tuma as well. If you have Tosus's analysis, if it's going in the opposite direction, the starting point is the Isha, and it doesn't make sense to be Metame the Isha wherever the Kli is going to be Tahor, so you don't necessarily end up with the same analysis as the Sidri Tara here. And definitely if you assume like the Rashba, that it's all a function of what's considered Shkiach, you don't necessarily end up with the Sidrei Tara's analysis either. Bottom line, most poskim are cholik on the Sidrei Tara, at least in practice. For Moshe and that tshuva, if you want to take a look, has a long analysis. In the end, he thinks that even if in theory the Sidrei Tara may be correct, there are various factors that make it practically irrelevant, bisman hazeh. So as a practical matter, the poskim generally do not accept this position of the Sidrei Tara.
Would it,
I'm sorry?
So, the blood on, say, a pad, if we say the pad is not a couple of tumas, so then...
Okay, so we'll get to pads probably next time.
Okay, but wouldn't that be a case of...
if the pad is a darvish ain't a makabal tuma, right?
It's on her,
right,
then,
so then...
But it, so then, since it's on her, it's not on a cleat, so then...
So if you accept it, there may be other factors as well, but as far as the Sidri Tara's analysis, if you accepted the Sidri Tara's analysis, that at least Ba'adam, if you have a Darvish Ainam Akabal Toma that's on Adam, and that would create Tomas Masa on the person, so then if you accepted the Sidri Tara's plaque, that would be relevant in your case. Yeah. Okay. If you take a look at the Shach in Sivkat and Tesvav, he quotes the Minchas Tinnus Kasha, yeah. Darkei Tshuva usually just quotes, he doesn't... Okay, so B'chavi writes, Kasem Shenimsa Al-Davish Eina Mekabotumas If Yod, Lo gozer lav ketzad bad kakarka olam. O kol davar she'ena mekabel tumah v'yashra lav v'masa bel kesem. V'chein kesem she'nim tzal beged tzavu, which we'll get to, is tahora. Fine. The shachir comments, sif katan tesvav, tesayin, sorry. Mivur midivrei atosvos midivrei arash. That's the tosva we just quoted. Shakasu masisa nihidala mekabel tumah mikamaka mekabel tumas negayim. So masisa is a kind of woven material or the weaving on the loom, which itself is not mekabel tumah, but it would be subject to tumas negayim. The kosher mekabel tumas negayim. So the fact that Tosos points out that this Masisa is subject to Tumas Negayim, and that's enough to make it subject to Tumas Samim, indicates that you don't need the Kli itself to be Mekabel Tumas Be'etzem. The fact that it is able to be Mekabel Tumas Negayim or subject to Tumas Negayim is sufficient to be mekabel tumas k'samim. That's what Tosas assumes here on Daf Ches Min Aleph, and the Shach quotes at le halacha. Okay, the crazy placey over here asked the following kasha on those we shown him. If the reason for Tumas Ksamim is along the lines of what we quoted from the Chidush Eran, that the starting point is whether the Beged is Tameh, and if the Beged is Tameh, we have to be Metameh the Isha also. So what difference does it make if the Beged theoretically could be subject to Tumas Dagan? Bottom line, if the Dam falls on the Beged, even if it's Dam Minamakor, the Beged is not going to be Tameh. It's not the etzem, the davar, mekabel tumah, even though it's subject to tumas negayim. So why do we care that it's subject to tumas negayim? Bottom line, it's not going to be come tumah because of this dam. So why should we then be netameh the woman? That's a crazy place. He's kasha and he's rishon. He's asking Tosas, right. And I'm saying with...
If you assume Tosas and Iran are the same sheet.
Even if you assume Tosas and Iran are not the same sheet, and Tosas is starting on the other side of the equation, that were ever a davar shakesem bo tar gamal isha lo gazio tumba, but here it's not kesem bo tar.
No, so it's only
him. Then it would only be on Tosas, not Iran. His kash is on all those who've shown him who say that if something's mekabel tumba bin agayim, it's subject to tumba's
tumba. But Iran never says that.
The Ran does not say that. That's correct. Right. When I mentioned the Ran, I meant in that analysis that we attributed to the Ran of the genesis of Tumas Ksamim. Right. So he's asking, on those we've shown him that say the fact that it's Mekabel Tumah bin Agam is enough to be Mekabel Tumas Ksamim, why should that be so? Bottom line, if the Kli is not going to be Mekabel Tumah from the Dam, then why should we be Metami the Isha? Good. So the Noda Yehuda implicitly answers this question. In the end of that Shuvah, the Noda Yehuda we quoted earlier, Yaradeya Simon Nun Beis, so he quotes this position of Tosas. He actually quotes it from the Gos Maimonides. The later Sfarim point out that the implication of the way the Noda Behuda presents Tosfos coming after the Ran is that he views him as the same Shita, not the way we explain from the Siddur Tara. Then he writes, "Vegamke insarach lefarish taimo shelo chilku b'davar makabotama." So you have to say that there's a certain low plug. That in Chanami, there may be situations in which the given kli really basher husham shouldn't be mekabel tuma ksamim, shouldn't be subject to tuma, even if there's dan min ha'isha. But once it's formulated in such a way that davar she'ein mekabel tuma ein mekabel ksamim, so that's true for anything that's ein mekabel tuma, even if it's ein mekabel tuma, or the inverse, even something that's only mekabel tumas nagayim may still be subject to tumas ksamim. So there's a certain low plug in a chanami. In theory, the reason doesn't apply. The fact that we're concerned about distinguishing between the Begad and the Isha isn't going to apply something that's only Mekabel Tumas Nagayim, but not Mekabel Tumas Be'etzem. But there's a certain low plug that that's how the Gvadeh was formulated. Anything that is Mekabel Tumas, even if it's only Mekabel Tumas Nagayim, is subject to Tumas Ksamim.
It's not a brain. You could just say that the Xer is onto Tumas Nagayim. People are going to see that the woman, that this isn't Mekabel Tumas for Tumas Ksamim, and say, oh, it's not Mekabel Tumas for Tumas Nagayim
either. I think that's a little bit far afield.
Why?
You're saying we should formulate the Xer in such a way to the whole reason for the Xer to begin with is that you shouldn't think that the woman is going to be Tmeya, you shouldn't think that the Begad is going to be Tar because the woman's Tar. So now you're adding another consideration.
Once we have that consideration, right, play, we're going to also have another consideration. People are going to start thinking the other Begad is Tmeya, whatever is
Tar.
Sorry,
in Tmeya Nagayim? I don't know. Anyway, so that's what the crazy place is bothered by. And he says, even if you could explain how by a bag that is Mekabel Tumas Nagayim, it would still be subject to Tumas Ksamim, but everyone should agree that that's only when it comes to Nige Begadim. But when it comes to Nige Batim, no one would say that if you have something that's subject to Nige Batim, that that's going to be Mekabel Tumas Ksamim. Even if you argue like Tosas, it only makes sense to say that by Tumas Nige Begadim, but not by Nige Batim. That's what the crazy place he writes. I'm sorry?
Wouldn't they give Batim just be things that are used for a wall?
A house that's built of Avanim Afar Vesim. Okay. So, and presumably you would then have to distinguish if Tumas Samim applied to something that is subject to Nige Batim. So first you have to distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, because Nige Batim are only relevant in Eretz Yisrael and are not relevant in Chutz Laaretz. That's what Siddur Tar points out. And he says also, if you look at the Mishnah Yisrael Nagayim, in order to have Nige Batim, it has to be built of Avadim Afar Vesim. So if you build it with other materials, like most of our building materials that aren't Avadim Afar Vesim, it wouldn't be subject to Nige Batim either. And some of the Svarim point out the Ramah that we'll probably get to next time at this point. The Ramah writes over here. We skipped it when I just read the Mechaber. There's no Tumas Ksamim b'beis hakisei she'ein mekabel tuma. So there's no indication there that that's only a beis hakisei that's not subject to Tumas Nigei Batim, or only a beis hakisei in Chutz Laaretz, only a beis hakisei that doesn't have a vanim offer beitzim. So it sounds like Mistima Slashono, when the Rishonim say like that, there's no distinction, or we're not concerned about something that's Mekabel Nigei Batim. However, if you look in the Torah Sashlamim over here, Torah Sashlamim Sifkatin Yud Gimel assumes that if something is Mekabel Nigei Batim, Imke Lefiza Efshar, Dibabayis, Makam Shemekabel Tumah Dinege Batim, Gamke Mekabel Ksamim. that if you have a house that could be mekabel tumas negebatim, it would be subject to ksamim. And the Chavis Ash assumes that way as well in Sifkat and Ches, that if you have a kesem on the walls of a house, it would be subject to tumas ksamim because it's subject to negebatim. And it sounds like even a chutzlaretz, meaning the way, I think, the way they would say it, is that if you have something that fundamentally, as far as its material, could be subject to nigei batim, even if Bashir Hisham is not subject to nigei batim because it happens to be in chutzlaretz, maybe it still could be mekabel tumas tzomim. Because we're looking at the theory, not the Bashir Hisham. That's essentially what we're saying when it comes to negei begadim also. Bashir Husham, it's not been mekabel tumas negayim, but the fact that it's a material that in theory could be subject to negayim is enough to make it mekabel tumas ksamim. If you look in the Rabbanu Torah, Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin, the Ramban assumes, or the Ramban thinks, I think it's Nira Lee, that even Nigei Begadim is only Nohag in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. So not just Nigei Batim, Nigei Begadim also only Nohag in Eretz Yisrael. And yet, the Ramban himself is Mefarish, the Ramban's on Samach and Beis, he's Mefarish this Mashsisa Gemara Leitosos, that it's a davar she'ein a mekabel tuma, but it's mekabel tumas negayim. Now, it must be Rabbi Yannai lived in Eretz Yisrael. So you could say that that whole Maaseh Rabbi Yannai, if you'll be mefarish that you're talking about a davar she'ein a mekabel tuma, but is mekabel tumas negayim begadim, that's because Rabbi Yannai was in Eretz Yisrael, so he was machmir there to treat it as having tumas ksamim because in Eretz Yisrael it's shaykh to have nigei begadim, but in Chutz Laaretz he wouldn't have said that. But the Rishonim that explain that Gemara of Rabbi Yannai Mashsisa is subject to tumas negayim, it doesn't sound like they're only talking Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz Laaretz. So those Rishonim seem to assume either if we're going to extend it to tumas nigei begadim, the batim, or even if we're going to limit it to Tumas Nigei Begadim, and assume that the Ramban, that's also only Eretz Yisrael. But either way, it sounds like it's something that theoretically could be subject to this kind of Tumah, even if Bashir Hisham it can't, even if you're in Chutz Laaretz, and it's only subject to Eretz Yisrael, that's enough to definitionally make it subject to enough Tumah to be Mekabel Summit.
According to
the Ramban.
Yeah, according to that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi Karp has an analysis in which I don't fully understand it, but he tries to argue that there's a fundamental difference between Nigei Batim and Nigei Begadim. That a bias is not Mekabel Tumah. Bias is Mechubar LaKarka. It's definitionally not Mekabel Tumah. There's a special din that a bias, under certain circumstances, could be subject to Nigei Batim, as opposed to a kli, or a beged, a piece of material, where it's fundamentally, the fact that it's subject to tumas negayim, even if it's not mekabel other tumas, is more fundamental to the definition of that beged. It's not as external as negei batim, and quite understand the chiluk, you take a look, but he argues along those lines that there's fundamental difference between negei begadim and negei batim. By a bias is definitionally not mekabel tumah. By a beged, even if it's a beged that in other areas of tumas abakabel tumah is only mekabel tumas negayim, but that's still definitionally more mekabel tumah. We can take a look and see if you understand exactly what the chiluk is. The Baal Shulchan raises the following question, footnote Siyun and Kuf Samach Beis. What's the din if you have a beged that's not mekabel tumah except for tumas negayim? That's owned by a Nachri. So, Bigdei Nachri are not subject to Tumas Negayim. But in theory, a Jew could buy it, and then it would be subject to Tumas Nagai. Even though the din is by most of those situations, the Mishnayos and Nagai, you start the clock again. Right? Like Gersh and Iskayer, who has a Nega, I think it's true for Neged Begadim also, so then if the Nega existed, Begiyuso, now it's Megayer, so you start the clock again, you view it as a new Nega. So here also, as far as viewing it as a Nega, if the Jew would buy it, I think the din should be that you view it as a new Nega. But fundamentally, this Begad is subject to Tumas Nagai. In the current situation, it's not, because it's owned by Anochi, but that could change, and then it could become subject to Tumas Nagai. But if the whole basis of these Rishonim is the fact that, in theory, it could be subject to that kind of Tumas, even though it's not subject now, so it shouldn't make a difference whether it's owned by Anochi or it's owned by a Jew. Shouldn't make a difference whether the house is in the Chutz La'aretz or the house is in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe even if the house is in the Chutz La'aretz, but it's a kind of material that could be subject to Tumas Nagayim. Or even if the bag is owned by a Goy, it's a kind of material that could be subject to Negev Bat. Not sure. Okay, I guess we'll stop now. And Wednesday, Eretz Hashem will finish up with other applications of Darvish and Makabal Tumma, paper and synthetic materials, and we'll start Savua.